I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the great big vast world of ours. This is Purpose Talk Radio. I am your host, Cindy Freeman. And we are live. Well, depends when you listen to this. If it is Friday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, or 8 p.m. in the UK, we're live. If it is sometime after that, it might be archived. And for those of you who want to listen to the archive show later, the link for the archive show and the live show are the same. So you can find those on the Purpose Talk Radio Facebook page, in the group Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and let's see, where else? You might be able to find it even on our website, if I've updated that yet, which I haven't for this particular show. If you'd like to participate in today's show, there's a couple ways that you can do it. Oh, first of all, I have to tell you again, I am still over at the Sharehouse Goods Coffee Shop. And so periodically we might get a little bit of a shipping noise. I'll pull back away from that as soon as I can. But, you know, unfortunately we do have to have that for just hopefully a couple more weeks. I'm still trying to get a new computer after the robbery. And, you know, it'll be what it'll be. So I welcome all of you who are listening and being a part of our show. There's a couple ways that you can be a part of it, though. The first is to jump into the chat room, which is at the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Talk Radio show page. If you scroll all the way down, the chat room is open. The other is to go over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook. And in that group, I have pinned a post that will be discussion about this show. You know, anything that resonates with you, either during the show itself or in the archives, you're welcome to post in there comments, questions, anything. And hopefully myself and our guest will go over there later in the week and, you know, answer your questions or carry on a discussion as well. Now, that post stays up indefinitely, whereas the one on the Blog Talk Radio, once the show ends, it's gone. So if you have anything that you really want to say and you want to keep with the show, please feel free to put that in the on Facebook group. Let's see. The other way that you can do this is either through calling in on Skype. There is an icon right next to the phone number on the Blog Talk Radio show page. Again, click on that and call in on Skype and press the number 1 so we know that you want to talk to us. And, of course, the fourth way is to call in directly. The phone number 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And press the 1 key then, and we will know you are wanting to talk to us. So, and there are a couple of folks in the chat room, which is wonderful. So I am going to bring our guest on here, so we can chat a little bit, and then I'll tell you a little bit about her. Our guest today is Pam Blackburn, and our topic today is using your inside voice. Now, for those of you who may have heard us start the show last week, we had a little bit of technical difficulties, and we were bopped out of the show after about 15 minutes, so I apologize for that. And we're going to try and start this baby all over again. And hopefully it comes off a little bit better. No, I know it's going to come off a lot better. You know, Pam, you were just so nervous last week. So, you know, this is, you know, that was just a dress rehearsal.
There we go. Good to go now.
Yeah, so welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. And it's going to go smoothly this time, right?
Right. You know, it's tolerating all the crazy stuff that's there. And I just realized my phone was on speaker, so you're probably really hearing all of the tape that was coming through. So we're taking that off. Okay, good. good. And then, of course, when the song started, the computer just automatically put me on the air. I'm going, wait a minute, it's not supposed to do that. So there's always something new. And I go 2 weeks without having a full show, and my brain just goes, wait, what am I supposed to do? So, yeah. So I do have to laugh sometimes. So we'll try this again. You are in sunny Arizona, aren't you?
I am in sunny Arizona. And today it's not raining like it was last week, and we're loving it. It's an 80-degree day, and I'm sorry for all the people that are living with the blizzard and cold weather.
Yeah, last week it was reasonable. Well, it was cold. And this week we have, in places anywhere between 6 and 12 inches of snow on the ground.
It's beautiful, right?
It is. It really is. And actually, today isn't too bad. It's 16. Yesterday was minus 6. Today it's 16. So it feels like, we've got a heat wave.
You got a heat wave coming through. Wow.
Exactly. It's supposed to be 30 this weekend, so we'll see. And then hopefully stuff doesn't start melting so badly and then, messing up the streets that way, too.
Right.
So let's see. We'll get into some of this stuff after I do your bio, which I'm looking for. You've probably chosen the Midwest. Is that anything that we're going to get into, like with the health reasons of your family, or it just turned out where you end up being, or,
We're moving from the Midwest to Arizona? Really wanting a life change, wanting to a fresh start in a nicer climate, some sunny weather, kind of got tired of the dreariness and the cold, and we thought we'd try it out here. We came to Arizona with only the intention to stay for a year and then move to Colorado permanently. And then we started our own business and, we kind of got wrapped up in it. And then you just can't leave because it's sunny. And who wants to leave that? Not me. So, life is good and we like it here. So this is where our home is probably for the rest of our lives. I hate to say that because it might take us somewhere else, but right now that's the way I feel. It's good. We just moved into a new house, so I'd like to think it's going to be for a while.
There you go. Yeah, my parents are out there in the winter, and my aunt and uncle are visiting there now, and they bought it'll eventually be a more permanent home for them. Coming soon enough, when they all retire and everything. So, I get it. And, I want to say I need my four seasons, but we don't always get the four seasons here in Wisconsin either. So, what can I say? It just is what
it is.
Well,
we have four seasons. They're a little bit different. It was just that spring only lasts for 2 weeks and fall lasts for a month. And and then you go from, and winter to us is 50 and we're freezing. Yeah, you get kind of wimpy.
Yeah, that really is with my mom, too. It's like, oh, man, she freezes at 60 degrees and comes home and cranks up the heat and everything else. So.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah,
I hear.
So, I want to tell folks a little bit about who you are other than person living in this nice warm climate. Well, we have the snow and anyway. But what we want to talk about today is using your inside voice. And I know you've experienced a lot of various things that we're going to talk about. We started on some of it a little bit last week, having a brain tumor, but living through it and turning whatever that means and finding out about all the new stuff in life and everything and kind of a new awakening just in life. One of the things that you say in your bio is that, you have a lot of reference in your life, to Groundhog Day and Bill Murray and waking up and saying, hey, it's a new day. and being more conscious of it instead of just going to same day in, day out and all that stuff.
Right.
Makes you want to get into that a little bit more, and especially Groundhog Day was this week, you know? Hey,
it
why
was
not?
This week, and hopefully everybody got an opportunity to watch the show. They did a whole marathon on it all day long, so I, of course, watched it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, bobbing his head out and going, ha, 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 is more like it instead of telling us whether there's 6 weeks or not. I saw a cartoon on one of my friends on their Facebook wall. We have the cat going through the snow that says something effective. I'm going to get that groundhog. So, but, okay, folks. Well, Pam Blackburn is a mother of five children, some born to her and others adopted. She says they're all special and some have additional needs. She tried for many years to satisfy others by trying to be more than, quote-unquote, just a mom. And recently woke up to the fact that, indeed, her purpose in life was that, and that is to be a mom. Well, being a mom may not seem as glorious or worthy by some. Pam came to realize she truly is more than a mom by proving it to others, and proving it to others serves no purpose. She spent most of her adult life as a student and holds a degree in social work and professional certificates as a massage therapist, Reiki master and teacher, and realtor in the Phoenix, Arizona area. As a realtor, she helps to find homes for people with special needs, and especially those needing accessible housing. She writes a blog at tryingtoexperience.com and is in the process of setting up a nonprofit organization called Miles on the Move. As part of all of this, like I said, you know, she's also experienced brain tumors. She's experienced moving, getting married, just waking up to life and realizing that the day in and day out things that a lot of us experience are not what she wanted to have. She realized at one point that her life had become stagnant and was looking for other things to do. And one of the things that Pam has said is that because of an experience of adopting their first child named Melissa, that in and of itself also has changed her life and has been one of her greatest teachers. She looks at Melissa's attitude, unconditional love, fighting spirit, and love for life every day. And she'll share a little bit more about that and what that has meant and how she has learned from her daughter, as well as the other children, both the those that were born to her and those that were adopted. So again, officially, welcome, Pam. We'll talk about some of these
Thank you, Cindy.
So,
thanks for having me. Appreciate it. I wanted to correct, just my blog is tryingtoexperience.com.
I think you said something else.
I don't know what you said exactly, but I don't think it was. Not that it matters, but I just thought.
Thank you. I think I may have said expression, expressive or something. Okay, good. Thank you for clarifying that. Anybody that might be looking for it, you find the right thing.
And it's been stagnant for a while, so, you know, there's a lot of old posts there. So, that's why I said it's not a big deal, but might as well get it right.
So I'll give you a second. What's that blog about? Give you a reason to start updating it.
Exactly. What is my blog about?
Yeah.
It's pretty much just about what we're talking about here, living your purpose, getting through the day-to-day of being a mom in a different type of a family, to a different type of a family. And some of the things that we go through that other moms and dads can appreciate and understand, and then there's some that won't understand. But it's also just about being a woman and a friend and a sister and a daughter and all those things, and just feelings. I kind of write from my heart because for me, things that are heartfelt, listening to that voice, using your inside voice, is who I am. So, if I was asked to write something, you know, and given a topic, I might sit on that for a few days and go, I don't know what to say. But, you know, if I'm talking from my heart, it's going to come really quickly, just like I think it would for anyone.
Right. Exactly. By the way, I have to ask, your brother is in our chat room and being very helpful, and I greatly appreciate it. He was there last week finding out how to do all this stuff. You know,
My brother's my biggest supporter. Gotta love him. Thanks, Bob.
It is so cool. Either you're telling people how to jump in and get their own personal thing instead of being in here as a guest. It would be nice if we have some names in there, but, you know, we'll take guests, too, that don't have names. Appreciate
so
everybody
you,
that's listening.
I have to be honest about Bob. Someone wanted to know how to get to, a couple people asked me how to get to the show, and I said, I don't know. I have to ask my brother. So my brother was the one that actually helped me share the link. Because technology is not really my finer point. So.
Well, that's okay.
So that I could forward it. So thanks, Bob,
cool.
Again.
Well, yes. You know, we had last week that I set you up for a show on Tuesday that I didn't have. I was in class again. So people are listening to you that they might be listening to you. They weren't listening to me that day. And then have this one because, quick when we dumped the other show, it was like, oh, quick, got to update it so nobody else jumps on. And so, yeah, it's, this is fun radio. That's what I love about my job. You know, I don't have to be perfect. And I learn about that
awesome.
Every time
See,
I come
that's
out.
The same way we should all be. We should love. There should not be a gap between what you love and what you do.
True, you know. So the question I ask everybody when I start the show, and last week I kind of gave it away, so this week I'll move away and let you talk a little bit more about it, is, how you've had this moment of aha, one of many, as you said in the initial stuff. And so what was that aha moment that told you, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
Well, I think, and again, I'm going to go back and I'm going to reference the title of the show, Using Your Inside Voice, because I think we all have that voice. I know we all have that voice inside of us, somewhere between the heart and the gut. And it has to connect with this voice that tells you all the time what you should be doing, instead of what other people are telling you or what you're listening to or what you're absorbing from society that you should be something else or someone else. And so it's listening to that little voice, but we all tend to ignore it, avoid it, push it away, do what it is we do with that voice that is really our higher self saying, turn this direction. It'll whisper to you. It will then nudge you. And then it will scream. And you're going to be in a crisis at that point when you if you haven't listened. And so that's where starting out, after I had brain surgery, I think was probably what I would call an awakening, although I don't know what that word means. Everybody has their own definition. But just... it was a moment of driving home from that surgery and realizing I survived this, and now what? But just looking, kind of driving in complete silence, and brain surgery has a way of affecting the way you think anyway, so words weren't easy to come to me and all that stuff. But just driving home and thinking, oh, that person is working on the side of the road as a construction worker. These kids are walking next to their moms. You are in there every day. The sky is really blue today. There's clouds up there. The grass is green. Just all the tiny little things that we don't take the time out of our day to notice. And just thinking, these are huge. The fact that person's able to work and able to walk down the street. And these are just amazing things to me. And I'm thinking, I'm gonna learn to appreciate this. Well, the voice said that, but healing took a long time for me. It took a long time. I was living in fear, and I talk about that with Melissa, how she just, tromps on through life and doesn't carry those fears that I carried. And so I got stuck in that for a long time. It took me a long time to heal, and I wasn't listening to a lot of stuff, but it was physical healing as well, too. But that was that first moment of, really, I want to learn to appreciate my life a lot more. And then from there, it's been little nudges and little voices and things that I ignored. And you don't, you bring yourself to unhappiness when you're not listening and using that voice that's always talking to you. And it's that one, I mean, we all have, you know, I use the word voices, but we all have this knowing. It's a knowing inside of you. It's, you know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing and what the next, maybe you don't know the long term where this is going to take you, but you know right now what you, what is right for you, what is your passion, what is your love, what is your purpose. It's always there, and that can change, and it's different for you than it is for me. But we don't always listen, and when we don't listen is when we kind of get followed up and backtrack, and then you get so far along. You know, for me, it was like, what happened? I'm supposed to be heading down this path, and here I am, because I listened to a lot of the, you should do this, you should do that, you know. And it wasn't until I came to know myself and listened to myself that this is what I should be doing, because this is where my passion is. And bringing children into my home that, you know, we told our adoption worker we wanted the kids nobody wants. And unfortunately, there's a lot of them. And, you know, then not knowing what that would bring to us. Just we're open to it, and let's let it happen. And I tell a story sometimes. But there were a few things. They give you this big, long list when you adopt children of what you'll accept and what you won't, which in itself just seems like such a strange thing, because when you have a child, you don't get those options. But it was, you know, so there were only three things that I checked that I wouldn't take. And to talk about where you put your thoughts, ended up with a child with each one of those disorders or whatever. So, you know, my mind was there, and so that's where we went. And that was just, again, a big nudge that this is what you're supposed to be doing. So I may have gotten way off topic there, because I do that. So if you want to bring me back to the original question, maybe I can.
Fine. What I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to ask, you know, I didn't think I was going to do this, but I'm listening to this voice too, going, hey, last week I invited people to do something, and I'm going to do it again because of what you said and how important it is. And that is, anybody that's listening to this show right now, first thing I want to say is we're going to have the grinder of the coffee. take a minute and just close your eyes. And just stand there for a second. And then I want you to open your eyes, and if you're in a place where you can stand or sit in a circle, go in a circle and look, literally look at everything that is around you and notice it, not just look at it. So many times we go through life, like you said, and we don't really look at something. We don't see it. We just look at it. You know, we may not even, it's funny, because even this week walking in the snow, it's like, okay, I know where that curb is. Not really. You know, now I might have to take my feet up just a little bit further, even though that same curb's sitting there, you know, because
yeah,
there might
we're on
be
autopilot.
A little extra snow or something on it, or it might be more clear than the one next to it, or whatever. Yeah, we do. We just go through, you know. How many of us have to get up in the morning and go through the same routine, or we feel out of place? You know, we have to brush our teeth in this, or, you know, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, take your shower. You know, some people have to have their clothes out before, some have to have them out afterwards, and if you don't do that, or somebody else has to disrupt that routine for some reason, you go, oh my God, I'm out of place, and the whole day is messed up. How many times do we do that? Probably a lot.
And that brings me back to my reference always to Groundhog Day, where, you know, because Bill Murray wakes up on Groundhog Day every single day, repeating that movie for people who haven't seen it. And he has to do the whole thing, and he's so angry in the beginning and lashes out at people. And then he kind of makes that turn where he goes, hey, well, how can I make the most of this day? I have to live it anyways. What do I do with that? Oh, it was one morning I woke up and I'm giving Hannah was our second adopted child, our fourth child, but second adoption. And she's a kiddo that needs a lot of routine. So when she entered our home, everything was very rigid. And so I'm a person who tends to be more spontaneous. Like, hey, let's go. Let's do it now. Sure. And with Hannah, you can't do that. So I just looked in the mirror the one day I'm getting up and giving her a bath in my autopilot mode. And I just went, oh, my God, my life is Groundhog Day. And what do I have to do to change this? Because I can't change the routine. I can't, you know, mess things up for her because that's going to affect her negatively. So what do I have to do to make this okay? And we would speak to adoption groups. They asked us to speak. And the first time we did, I thought they're never asking us back because we said, you want a child with special needs, be prepared to live Groundhog Day. And we thought, oh, they're gonna go, you can't come back. They're like, please come back every time. Because people have to know that. And you have to, in your mind, be able to figure out, how am I going to make the most of this day? It's going to look the same as it did yesterday, but how can we make it different or whatever? For my husband and I, humor is of utmost importance. We don't get through the day without it. So I know you and I were talking about a post that I had put on Facebook, and I said, you know, I put those things up because I know there's somebody that will come in and make me laugh about it. And you just have to. You have to laugh through your day sometimes because sometimes. Go ahead.
So let's share, you know, we may jump back and forth here, and that's fine since you brought that up. Let's share a little bit about this. Basically what I saw in your post was something about taking all the kids for haircuts. First of all, five kids for haircuts for anybody. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. Okay, so that's just in general. I'm going to tell you that. I've seen my, you know, when my sister had little kids, it's like one at a time. And, you know, you don't even take two. It's one at a time. And, you know, unfortunately that means several trips, but you don't, yeah. You know, and then try to get you in on the top of that. So, okay, what is taking five of your kids?
Okay, so my kids are grown up a little bit.
My kids are adults
now.
Yeah, a little bit about your kids. Right, tell us a little bit about your kids and what that would mean doing it that way.
Well, my kids are adults now for the most part. My youngest is 19. So my older two, they go do their own haircut. They don't live at home. They're away. They take care of themselves. So luckily it was only the three of us and my husband and myself. So there was five of us. But I had to laugh because the lady even asked me how to cut my husband's hair. And I said, are you kidding me? Ask him. I'm not everybody's mother. But, you know, and we have done this.
There's a lot of
taking all the kids.
Yeah. That's nothing new. So I get that.
I'm like, no, not going there. He's his own person. Ask him how to cut his hair. But, you know, it's challenging because we gain a lot of unwanted attention. Because, well, Melissa is in a wheelchair. She has CP. She's blind as the result of a traumatic brain injury. And so she just draws attention no matter what. Hannah has Down syndrome and autism. So she does a lot of quirky things and makes, you know, just randomly squeals or screeches and can make people jump. She has a little knack for pulling people's hair and other little devious things unexpectedly. And then Zach, who Zach is 19. He's also has autism. He's on the autism spectrum. Pretty, you know, for lack of a better term, high functioning. I don't like categorizing like that, but it helps people understand. He's a smart kiddo, but he has some issues with socialization. So he's just in his own world quietly playing on his phone so he doesn't have to make eye contact with anyone or talk to anyone. And, you know, so we just draw attention. And last week we've just moved into this neighborhood. So we're meeting our neighbors. Our neighbors have all been very friendly. But one man pulled up as my girl's van from their day program arrived. And so they were letting down the ramp and letting the kids out, and I'm talking to the providers, getting an update on the day. And he introduced himself and said, I live, you know, over here. And so you guys a group home? And I'm like, seriously, that's really a first. And after 30-something years of parenting, no one has asked me that. And for a moment, I was shocked because I thought, wow, I have never heard that question before. And then I was, I don't know, it took me to a place where I always say I want to be invisible. And that that was one of those moments where can't we just go through our life and not be noticed like other families, just walk through the mall or go to the grocery store or do whatever it is that we're doing like normal, ordinary, typical people do. But and I always thought if I just had an invisible button, it would be so nice. But no, because we get asked a lot of questions and we draw attention to ourselves because of how we look. And I told him, no, we're just a family. And, you know, he meant well. And he said, well, I'm also in a chair. And, you know, I looked in and I knew, you know, his van was a wheelchair accessible chair. And he said, I'm in a chair too. So his intentions could have been anything. Could have been, maybe I'm looking for friends, maybe I'm looking for a job, maybe anything. Just being neighborly, but it struck him as, well, this could be a group home. And so, and the haircutting experience is just always an experience in itself. I don't even know how to explain that, Cindy.
Okay, that's fine.
I just, you're in this little area. It's sort of like, you know, that there's like this code when you go into a doctor's office where nobody can talk. And mm-hmm. So I always like to try to break that silence because I'm like, everybody wants to talk to everybody else, but nobody wants to say anything because I don't know, if we were in the car dealership, everybody's talking, but in this doctor's office, you can't say anything. And it's kind of like that, though. You're in this hair salon with a bunch of strangers and everybody's staring at you or looking away or whatever weird thing they do for themselves and twitch and uneasy in their chair. It's kind of at those moments that I like to not say anything and just see how they deal with it themselves. It's one of my friends says sort of a sick obsession with making people uneasy, but it's awkward and it's uncomfortable for everybody. So you have to laugh through it.
Yeah, I mean, and I can understand that. You know, when I talked a little bit about this too, you know, when I first lost my eyesight and I'm walking with the cane, it's like, first of all, people who knew me when I, they're like, they knew the eyesight was going when they first actually saw me using a cane, the red and white cane. It's like, you know, they went either from these, oh, I'm so sorry, to, oh, really? You are like losing your sight. And it's like, they don't, like you say, they don't know what to say. People don't,
right.
You know, part of me doesn't get it. Part of me understands a little bit more now. You know, but it's like reality, anything out of the, or out of what somebody thinks is ordinary, they don't know how to handle.
Right.
You know, like I said, if somebody moves somebody's toothbrush, you know, we were just talking, you know, you have this routine, somebody accidentally moves your toothbrush or, you know, is in a rush and so it gets brushed out of the way because they quickly flip their shirt on and the arm of the shirt kind of hit it or something, you know, it sends people into a panic and, you know, they see something different and they don't know what to do or say and it's like, oh,
it's that discomfort. It's that discomfort for them. And, you know, part of me wants to go, you know, make it okay for them. And and then part of me wants to go just leave us alone or just talk to us, you know, talk to us like we're people because we are. So.
Well, I'll just toss something else. And it was just kind of basically a conversation with us, you know, and if people got questions, please feel free. Good time to call in. 347-205-9074. Again, There goes the last. 347-205-9074. If you're in on Skype, feel free to hit the 1. If you're in the conversation room, you can type something in, but I really prefer that you call in if you want to talk to us. And I'll check the phone lines in a moment there. Press 1 if you want to talk, as opposed to just sitting there and listening.
I'd like to pose a question to other people, anybody who's got, you know, a situation where they kind of stand out or look different. And this doesn't have to be with disabilities, because there's families that adopt children that are of a different race, or, you know,
right,
any number of things that make them look different. And there's constant questions. You can't just be a family. You have to answer those questions. You know, you're walking down the vegetable aisle in the store and you get a question and you have to stop and you answer it. And you know, everybody has a different approach to how they do that. But I'd like to pose a question if people are interested in answering. How do they handle it? What do they do?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. That's pretty much where I was going to go is, you know, one of the things that I used to do, and especially with kids, you know, you'd have parents that, you know, would see the cane and they'd pull their kid out of the way. And I'd stop and I'd say, do you have any questions? Do you want to know
right,
what this is?
Right.
And the parents would be like, oh, yeah, you'll talk about that? Kind of, you know, they didn't say it, but they kind
right,
of looked at me like, oh, you know, I hadn't thought of that. I just thought of getting them out of the way and, you know, oh, you can
right,
see them. I can see them enough, yeah.
But that creates fear. That creates fear in the child. And as they grow
right,
up, they learn that, then that's a learned behavior is I ignore,
right,
I avoid, I get away from those people,
exactly,
wherever they are.
So that's why I've come to the, did you have a question? Did you want to know what this is? Or
mm-hmm,
have you ever seen something like this before? Or, you know, I don't know if you're kids. You know, have you ever seen anybody in a wheelchair before? You know, kind of,
right.
I mean, you don't want to put adults down to children level, but sometimes we almost have to, because it's amazing how many people have grown up in a community and never saw someone blind, never found a deaf person, never
right,
saw somebody in a wheelchair, you know, outside of, you know, having a cast on their leg or something, you
mm-hmm,
know, so they don't know what to do with it. And I guess my
right,
hope.
And I think it's better to ask, and even for parents to ask, my son has a question, you know, because, you know, it's better than the response, you know, I've gotten some really horrible responses from parents and just the way they treated their kids, like, don't you dare stare. And it's like, wait a minute, he's curious. All kids are curious. Let's talk about
right,
it. And
exactly,
and then to the remarks of, well, they're sick. And I said, you know, actually, she's not sick at all. And it's not contagious,
yeah,
you know. So we don't have to be in fear of that either. So, yeah, it does. It helps to, you know, there's people that are truly ignorant, and then there's people who are rude. So, you know,
true,
you can deal with the ignorance and explain, and people are open most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
People are rude. Sometimes it's not worth it.
Right.
Right. So you pick and choose. And, you know, we've been doing this a lot of years. I think my oldest daughter is 33, so we've been answering questions a long time, and sometimes it gets old, and you slip back into that I want to be invisible mode.
How old was she when you adopted her?
Melissa was 8.
Okay.
We adopted her.
So yeah, you really have been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And essentially, she will probably be living with you all for the rest of your life, I take it?
Yeah, actually, she will. Probably my 3 younger kids will always live at home. And
okay,
so we'll never be alone, and we'll never be lonely, will we? So,
yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, you won't have to, look at this way, you won't have to go through that empty nester syndrome.
Yeah. Sometimes we long for it, honestly, but yeah, we won't.
Okay. Well, let me scroll through some of the things that we've talked about here. You know, I know one of your, I ask most of my guests to give me some quotes and things. And You know, there are two that you gave that I want to share with our audience, unless you'd like to do it, if you have them off your top of your head.
Yeah, I could do that if you want.
Sure.
Up to you. Okay.
And why don't you do that, and I'm going to go check on the caller that's on here and see if they actually want to talk or are just listening for you. The 404
okay.
area code, so go check on that. All right, go ahead and give
okay,
us really? those paper quotes or tell us. You know, and let us know why you like.
Why?
And let
okay.
us know why you like them so much. So yes.
Why I like Shel Silverstein? Okay.
Yeah. Well, quotes. Yeah.
Okay. The quotes. Gotcha. Okay. The first one is by Shel Silverstein, who is one of my very favorite writers, and it says, "There is a voice inside of you that whispers all day long. I feel that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside." So I think that speaks to the whole topic of the show, using your inside voice. It's always there. It's always talking to us. It's that knowing that we have inside, and it will never lead you in the wrong direction, because everybody has a dream, and everybody's dream is different. And what I'm doing today may be somebody's dream, somebody else's dream, and I don't belong there. And you've got to, you know, when there's a big gap between what you love to do and what you think you should do, then it's time to reevaluate. And then my other one is by Rumi, who is also one of my very favorites. And that is, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there's a field. I will meet you there. To me, that just speaks to judgment and judging what's wrong and what's right, and you're wrong. Maybe my right and my right, maybe you're wrong. And even though we disagree on that, somewhere out here in this field, we can meet and be okay with each other's differences.
Cool. And that makes a lot of sense. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our own field to play in, as we said before. And, you know, every single week I encounter someone on the show that's got a different field. And, you know, I ask the same questions of how did you come to know it and what do you want to share with people and, you know, how did you actually end up fulfilling it? And those questions are the same. The answers are always different. The end result is always different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a lot of us, we change periodically. We listen to that voice and go, okay, am I in that right place? You know, like you say, whether it's a teacher or a preacher or whatever, you know, it could be absolutely whatever. Somebody cutting lawns, it could be the Fortune 500 of a CEO company. That's what Purpose Talk Radio is all about. You know, sharing with people what those dreams are, how they came to achieve it, and you know, what to do with it.
And that Fortune 500 company, the CEO, I mean, that's what he or she was meant to do. That's their purpose. Thank goodness that somebody wants to do that.
Right. I don't know.
It's not my thing either, but you know, thankfully there's a place for everybody, and when you listen to the voice, you end up there where you're supposed to be.
Right. Well, there's two things I want to touch on yet. And you did a little bit, and I know we don't want to elaborate on it because we want to elaborate actually on the other side of it. You know, we've talked a lot about your mom stuff, but you've gone through some stuff yourself personally too in what you're doing in life. And, you know, I'd like to just briefly touch on a brain tumor, because for a lot of folks, that in and of itself is like, oh, my gosh, you know. But obviously, the other piece that we always hear about cancers, illness, sickness, is keeping something in front of you, something positive that will help keep you going on that. So for you, I mean, was there something that helped you get through that part of your life, or was, you know, you say what's on the other side a little bit of that coming home and driving home that day, but, you know, what happen in your life at that point, you know, when you heard it as you went through, what got you to keep going through it and moving to the other side?
Cindy, I was in a different place then, and I just honestly didn't do that well going through that. It was a very much of a struggle for me, and it took me to a really dark place in my life. And it was, you know, part of that has to do with the brain healing, you know, cutting into your brain. And my tumor was benign, and I'm absolutely fine as far as, you know, I have a fairly normal life as far as that's concerned. I have seizure disorder. Mm-hmm. I take medication. I move on. It's all good. But I like I said, I was fearful. And they say the two surgeries that people live in the most fear is after heart surgery and after brain surgery. And both sort of makes sense for both of them. I mean, they're major traumatic things. I mean, you don't want to live without your brain operating the way it was. And, you know, your heart makes everything else go. Your brain makes your heart go, but your heart makes everything work. So, you know, it takes people to fear. And you come out, you know, I came out surviving, a survivor, doing well, but it took me many years to get to that place. So I can't even say, wow, I did really good because of this, because I really felt like I failed at that point. And we all know there's no failures, but it's how we perceive it. It's just where you are and how you're looking at it at that particular time. And that was one of those, we went beyond the whisper and the nudge into the, you know, the scream. And it's like, you better do something to turn this around or you're always going to be living in this place of fear and, oh, you know, woe is me. And I don't want to live there. I just don't want to. And, you know, I kind of made that decision in a slow way, you know, kind of not awake at all during that process. It's only on the other side now that I can look back and go, you know, and it did take me to places. It was definitely a life-changing event in that it did make me know that I had to appreciate all the little things in life. All the things my dad had said through the years about, you know, wealth has nothing to do with money. You know, it's more about friendships. It's about family. It's about, you know, the people you love and living your passion and your purpose. And so it made me start to reevaluate all of those things, but it was a slow process. And I was a different person, like I said. And now I'm more awake, and there's always a waking up process. We're always constantly waking up to new things and new ways of looking at things, and what I believe today I might not believe tomorrow, but this is where I am right now, and it's working for me, and I feel like positive. There's a really forward momentum. I don't know if anybody else feels it. 2015 is just like, I feel this huge forward momentum of, you know, just life is good and things are moving forward, and you know, it's good, but it took a while to get there. And I think you have to go through some of that stuff. You have to feel the feelings. I mean, we're human, and we have to maybe sometimes be taken down into those trenches to pull ourselves back up again and go, I'm not going there again. So, again, it's where you put your thoughts, and my thoughts were not where I would have liked them to be or where they are now. So it was a process. I realized it, that I had to do things. It just was a process to get to do those things. And some of that, like I said, is the brain healing. It takes a while. I think I talked to you about this, that for me anyways, after brain surgery, I could not feel emotion. I didn't feel goodness. I didn't feel sadness. I couldn't describe an emotion to you. I could, on a intellectual level, I could say, I know I should be really happy right now. I know I should be really sad right now, but I don't feel any of that. It's just a flat line. And that takes, I mean, your brain just has to heal like any other wound. It takes time to heal that through, and then you start to feel those feelings again, and you come out a different person. And Melissa, I think, you know, she certainly went through something much more traumatic than I did. Her brain injury was far more devastating. She is you know, cognitively very impaired from injury that she sustained. But she doesn't have, though, I mean, you know, like I said, she's got a fighting spirit and a love for life, and she's a survivor, and she fought and she adapted, and, you know, like I said, she adapted where I was stagnant, and she was brave where I was fearful, and she was happy where I was miserable. And when Melissa came into my life, she taught me, you know, more than words can express, and showed me how to love and laugh and appreciate life again. And because she just kind of was a trooper and just got through it without, you know, going, she has no use of the right side of her body. But it doesn't stop her from doing the things she wants to do. She just kind of works through it. And, you know, maybe she isn't able to think on that level, but I think everybody has a will inside of them and a spirit inside of them that tells them to do something and to go in a certain direction. And she just has a good, very good attitude about life and taught me how to do the same.
And you had the brain tumor before you adopted her, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay.
It was before.
Okay, and that was kind of what I thought I was going to be leading, is exactly what did that experience do as you adopted your daughter, but you walked right into it, and I didn't even have to, see, this is where spirit works. You know, I don't even have to go, okay, sometimes things, traumatic experiences, prepare us for something else.
They do. And you, like I said, you don't know where the journey's going, but as long as you're willing to go along with it, you end up where you're supposed to be.
Right. You know, I'm going, you talked about fear, and I think we go through that in anything. I mean, after, again,
mm-hmm.
I bring it up a lot, but after the robbery, I walk outside, and sometimes
yeah.
I'm fine, and another other time, I jump at the sound of anything. You know,
it
somebody
takes,
rolled
it took
over
that piece
a plastic
of mind
bottle.
Away, sure.
Yeah, they rolled yeah. over a plastic bottle, and I jumped, and no, there was no gun, there was nothing, there was no weapon. It's just
right.
my stuff. You know, me, my space was invaded. You know,
that's right.
So I get that. You get that numb feeling, you know, funerals,
mm-hmm.
losses of anything, you know, loss of a job. We go through that period of being numb and not knowing what, you know, again, knowing what everybody else says we should feel or how long it should take to solve that and be on and move back to your life. And you know what, folks?
No, but you don't move back. I mean, nothing will ever be the same. For you, you're going
right.
to learn how you move forward and you become a different person. And,
right.
you know, there was probably a purpose for that in your own life. We're unaware of what that is. And certainly we don't want to think that, well, that happened to me for a reason, because that just seems cruel.
Right, right.
But
it did. I know it did. No.
Yeah, it's sometimes that why. The why will get
right.
you down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, as longer we dwell on it, the longer we stay in it, I
so
think
true.
Sometimes. Well, you know, so
right.
you're right. We go through that, and it's through it. You're right. We don't go back. There is no going back, because you will never have and be the same person, you know. There's
right.
no way you can be. There's no way you can
no,
be.
No, there's not. You know, and people, especially after a death of someone, you know, very close to you, or you know, you're never the same person again, but you find a place to move on and move forward, but it's not the same ever. So, and I think there's just a lot of moments of waking up in our life. Like, you know, I talked about in my bio a little bit about waking up I was going through some training at my current job, and we were asked to find our why. Why are you doing this? Why, you know, what brings you here? You know, and most people will say it's for the money. Well, it's not for the money, because if, you know, what is it? And the trainer and coach, you know, did a very good job of explaining, you know, when she was put on the spot and someone stood, you know, she said it's for the money. And the other person said, well, if I'm on the edge of the board over here and you're standing on the other end of the board over here, and I have a $20 bill for you. Are you going to come get it? She said, sure. And he said, okay, I'm going to raise this board 20 stories in the air. Are you going to come across here for this $20 bill? She said, no way. And he goes, $100 bill? She said, nope. He said, $100,000? She said, nope. And then she said, what if your son was over here? She said, I'd run. So there's your why. Your why is your child, for her, was her child. And so then we were asked, what is your why? You know, what is your why? And I sat there and it was like I woke up, like I just really woke up. My why is my kids, but I should not be here sitting in this office because I just sent my daughter off to her day program after three seizures. And I've got a son with autism who needs help finding a job. And he's at home playing video games and watching TV, which is serving no purpose whatsoever. And I thought, as long as he's sitting there playing video games and I'm sitting here so worried that I'm going to get a call that they've called 911 for my daughter, I do not belong sitting in this office. I can do this job, but I can do it my way. I can't do it their way. So I just, it was that moment where I went, if I'm doing this for my family, I need to be there for my family. And so my focus has switched a little. Yeah, I can do that job, but I'm working on a business that I'm starting from home that I'm going to be here. So I'm going to be accessible when my kids need me, when I get that call that says we've called 911, because it happens more often than I'd like to say, that we've dialed 911, they're on their way, you know, and I have to meet them there or they transport her and drug her. And so I like to get on the road when they give me that call and get there so I can say, don't transport her. Or do, depending on how it is, how it's going. So it was sort of such a moment of clarity of really, really waking up to, if I'm doing this, if this is my why, and I know it is, then I'm doing something wrong. Because I'm sitting here all day long for a month. This was a month of training. This was the first day. And I didn't go back the second day. And I haven't been back since. And it's only because I know I can do it. It just has to be on my terms and in my way. And I know their ways work, and they work for most people, but not for me.
What do you think of this term? Has your opinion of the term of just a mom changed since you've come to this realization?
Well, you know, that was one of the things when we had to write it down and they're going around the class asking, and I'm like, oh, please. Because the first thing that came to mind is, when they said, what's your why? And I started to write down, well, I just wanted to be more than a mom. And that was my own waking up to, well, who are you trying to impress with this always wanting to be more than a mom? Because I get asked all the time, you know, oh, you have the day off, or do you have to work tonight? Do you have to go to work later? And I don't know how to answer that question because really I kind of feel like I'm on 24/7. But I think motherhood is underrated and underappreciated. Although we'll be the first to get blamed if our kids do something wrong. So I came to the realization that I am really more than just a mom, you know, and I'm not, you know, that's ego speaking. That's wanting to be something for somebody else to impress someone. And my purpose is not to impress anybody. So, you know, if motherhood isn't always seen as glorious or worthy, and I just came to the realization that it's very worthy and it's maybe not glorious, but there certainly are rewards. There's rewards every single day in the smallest things. And my daughter, who's 30, is now saying her name regularly for the first time ever. And she says no, which is, I'm blaming her age for that one. She tells her no a lot. But hey, you know, it's a word. And if she tells me no, I have to kind of laugh. I'm like, well, she heard that. So words never came out of her mouth before. And she's 30 years old. So these are big things. These are huge things. If she told me no, I'm like, isn't that cool? And I don't know that they get it. That I don't care that she told you no. It's really cool that she said that. So it was just a big, it seems like a minor thing, but it was a huge wake up to me.
Cool. One of the things you said to Melissa about, you know, and we didn't get to it in this one, I think we did last time a little bit, was, I want to pull a quote that you said about her. That Melissa, and you said a part of it, but Melissa is much more of a survivor than I ever was. She refused to give up where I was weary of fighting. She adapted where I was stagnant, was brave where I was fearful, and was happy where I was miserable. She has taught me more than words can express and showed me how to love, laugh, and appreciate life again. My challenges have made me stronger and happier, and I've learned not to take anything for granted. I truly appreciate and am grateful for each day I wake up and know I am incredibly blessed. Each child who entered our family truly left an enormous impact on me and many others whose paths they've crossed. They've been my greatest teachers, biggest inspiration, opened my eyes, arms, and heart, challenged me to be a better person, and have given me the opportunity to understand things I never would have recognized had I not known and loved them.
So true.
And, you know, my parents and I are not close.
Mm-hmm.
They won't, that's not the type of thing I'd hear from them ever. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying it one good or bad. You know, but that kind of inspiration, you know, I guess we all hope that, you know, we could do that for our parents, as, you know, and our parents do that for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just, you know, I am so glad you're here to have shared your story and been a part of this show, this journey. Facebook is incredible. You know, I don't remember how we connected.
But we were meant to.
I've seen your posts periodically, like everybody else. You know, every once in a while it jumps in and it is, and I'm going to go check and see what it'll tell me. You know, and, you know, it really doesn't matter, but I've seen them across the way, and I've seen the pride you have in your kids and in your family, and it is inspirational. You know, and we talked a while ago about you doing the show, and it was not the time.
Yes.
And that's
right.
Fine. You know, and that's all okay. It doesn't really matter.
It was funny that you would ask, because like I said, I feel the forward momentum this year, and I was too afraid last time when you had asked me to do the show. I just thought, oh, I can't talk on the radio. That's, you know, ridiculous. I have nothing to say. And, you know, it just wasn't the time, like you said. It just wasn't the time. And
Oh, this is funny. I just looked back. February 19th, 2012.
So funny. So it's been a couple of years. It's been 3 years.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah.
I think that was. I think I had written.
Randy.
I had written
Randy
a blog
Gross
about Melissa. Yeah. Thank you, Randy. Randy. I had written a blog about my daughter's brain injury, and that was what caught your attention, and you asked if I wanted to come on and speak about how what she's taught me.
Right.
So,
I'm looking at this. Yeah, originally it was Randy making the suggestion, and I mean we've got some other folks that overlap and things, and it's just cool. You know, it is cool how things connect and the hows and the whys. And I'm still trying to get Randy on this show. hint, if you're listening, Randy. I don't bite too badly. You know, I just like sharing, letting people share their stories. So I'm going to ask you first of all, is there anything else that you wanted to share that I did not give you the opportunity to? Missed anything?
Well, I'm starting this nonprofit, not-for-profit organization, and it's actually really, really early in the stages to probably even mention it, but I kind of want to talk about it really quickly. Called Miles on the Move, and it was inspired by someone else who's doing a similar thing, but it speaks to me personally. And what it's doing, well, let me just tell you a little bit. It's, some of us with special needs children spend a lot of time trying to raise awareness to the whatever condition our child's living with. The downside I've seen is that we're all talking to each other. And so what would motivate somebody to want to read one of my blogs when they know nothing about a traumatic brain injury, or, you know, it hasn't affected them in any way? So how do we get to talk to each other? How do we end up in Rumi's field, out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and right doing? And I think, what would have made me, before I had special needs children, read something like this? And even bringing the kids into my house, I had no idea what I was heading into. When Melissa came to our house to live with us, it opened up a whole new world that I knew nothing about, of disabilities and lifting and lifts and, you know, car lifts and ramps and body lifts, yeah, and lifting. And, you know, so it was all this whole world that I knew nothing about. And so what would motivate, how do we talk to each other? And I thought, you know, it's really about one person at a time. So my thought was, I have a lot of my family members are runners. I have a couple nieces and my sister. My sister just turned 60 and ran a marathon on her 60th birthday, which was awesome.
Wow.
And that was not great. So anyways, I started to ask people, why do you run? Why do you run? You know, and the answers are a little bit different, you know, for health, for, you know. But it boils down to they're doing something for themselves. Maybe the only thing they do for themselves, because they're mothers and they're workers and they're, you know, they're busy people. But it's the one thing they do for themselves. And so I thought, why not bring that, why not, would you run, you know, and I asked a question to my niece and my sister, would you run for Melissa? Melissa can't run. Would you run for her? Just, you know, so they're able to, they're fulfilling their passion, they're running, you know, doing that, but they're motivated, and my niece has actually started to run for my daughter, and this is going to make me cry because that's how much it means. But she didn't just let it drop. She didn't just go at that, you know, I had asked her, and, oh, that'd be a nice thing to do. She took it, and she came to me, and she said, I'm going to do my big run tomorrow. Can I run for Melissa? I said, absolutely, do it. To me, a big run, you know, maybe 10 miles. I hear from her later on, I ran 26 miles today for Melissa, and 26.1, actually, I remember that. And she sent me pictures. She said what it meant to her. Like, if she's running along, she's thinking about Melissa. She's it kept her going when, I mean, 26 miles is a long way to run. I don't run, but I know it's a long way to run. And so, you know, you've got to want to quit somewhere along the line. So in those moments when she wanted to quit, it kept her going. So to me, it's like the perfect combination of purpose and passion and motivation. Like, she's motivated by Melissa, but she's thinking about Melissa, giving something great back to us that, I don't know. So then I started to think, well, we're really involved in the motorcycle community. My husband's a rider, and we've run some companies that have to do with motorcycles. And I thought, why not get people on motorcycles, to like ride, you know, you're moving, it's called Miles on the Move. So anything that you do, whether it's biking, hiking, running, you know, riding a motorcycle, why not pick up one person that you're riding for? So it's one person at a time. You're learning about them. It's not, you're not running for a cause or a big organization that's going to be, you know, collecting your money for, you know, research or whatever, but you've gotten to know one person. You're giving to them so much by just thinking about them. And they're giving you back the motivation to keep going on with what you're doing. And so we're in the very baby stages of this whole thing. But I'm hoping that it brings, you know, and then when people gather at the end, it's like, well, I ran for Melissa, or I rode my motorcycle for Hannah. And they get to tell a little bit about that child, and they get to follow through a family or an individual, or, you know, kind of get to know someone on a level that's deeper. And it's just, I mean, talk about purpose. I don't know. So we're in the early stages of that, and something that I definitely am passionate about. And I didn't realize setting up a nonprofit was such a big deal. But it doesn't mean we have to have that all the way set up before we start rolling with it either. So I'm hoping that there's other people out there that want to run for a buddy, and that there's buddies out there that people want to run a ride for.
When you say run or move for them, do you mean to raise money for them, or do you in their name of?
In their name. I run, you know, my niece runs for Melissa, and Erica runs for Melissa. I mean, just, it goes both ways. Cool. Erica runs for her, and she's running for Melissa. And it's just knowing, it's just a motivation. At this stage in the game, I don't see money changing hands at all. And, you know, things change. I don't know that will be down the line, you know, or whatever. But it's not to raise money. It's for motivation and purpose and passion, and all those things are important to me. And raising awareness. And sharing that with other people.
Well, okay, it has you in tears, it has me in tears. I don't know what it's doing to my audience, but or our audience, but it doesn't really matter. So, let's just put on, we have a guest in the chat room that has put a couple of things up here.
I just shut my computer down.
That's okay. I'm pulling it up here. And I'll tell people again, give them one last shot here. If you want to call in the show, 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. But I just want to look at some of the stuff that's in here. If there's anything that we want to be sharing. You know, we already gave a shout out to your brother, Bob. Someone else in here, as a mother's love is forever. I don't know who that is, but
it's true.
I don't know if you or not, but it was just like, yeah, no kidding. So
I think
very,
I'm
very
on the
true.
Wrong. I think I'm on the wrong page.
You need for me to throw it up for you on Facebook again?
No, I am. I'm switching over to the conversation page.
Oh yeah, it's in the Blog Talk chat room.
Okay,
so
well,
the
then I'll go back.
Yep.
Can you tell me what that
you
actually, is
actually
called?
You may not be able to. You go to blogtalkradio.com/purposetalkradio.
Okay, yeah.
But actually,
all right,
things that have been previously posted, anybody that jumps in here, the previous posts don't show up for you, unfortunately. So,
okay.
But I don't know what this time zone is. A Mother's Love posted in there, you know, about something specifically that she said was wonderful, and then it's a milestone moment. So I find that interesting. So, yeah, definitely always. And you've got yourself on speaker.
I know, I'm trying to turn it off. I'm sorry. I told you technology's not my thing. I'm trying to figure out how to shut it off. It's off.
Okay. It's okay. That's what I was doing myself for a while, and I couldn't hear it. So, anyway. But, you know, so the whole thing is a milestone and a moment for you and for your family. And, again, I appreciate it. So is there a way people can get a hold of you? do you have a website yet up? Or do you just want to get a hold of them?
Miles on the Move,
Facebook?
I have. Miles on the Move is on it's open. I've got a Facebook page. It's in its very early stages. I think I'm the only friend on there right now, actually. But it's called Miles on the Move. Also, you can connect with me on Facebook. My name is Pam Blackburn. And my blog is tryingtoexpress.com. I don't know that people would need to
I mean, if you want it to you, if you want, they can send you a message through Facebook as well.
Sure, I have open for anybody to send me messages.
Yeah, you know, identify yourself as, you know, listening to the show, folks, if you do that, just out of courtesy. And, you know, and I'll ask Pam to put that stuff, links to that, in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations thing. I have not posted anything in there because I've been so enthralled in the conversation today. So,
okay.
You know, I may go back and put some things in, maybe not. You know, again, anybody that's listening to the archives, feel free to post in there anything that resonates with you, any questions that you might have, and we'll come back and check on those. And then the last thing that I always do is I leave people with an affirmation for the week. I don't know if you have one that you want to share. If you want me to create one from what you have said, it's up to you.
I would probably go to, I now listen to my, I use my inside voice. Unless you have something else that's more profound. That's not all that profound, but.
You know what? Let's just do it.
Okay.
I was going to do something about seeing everything in the world, but I like that better. I use my inside voice.
Oh, I like that too. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Okay, I see my inside voice, and you want to see everything in front of me? See everything around me?
Yeah, that's great.
And actually, I'm going to reverse them. I'll even go one further. I see everything around me and use it to guide my inside voice. Does that work for you?
There you go. It works.
Okay. Awesomeness. All right, folks, I don't see anybody racing to the phones, so that's fine. Again, I thank you, Pam, for being a part of this. I can put you back on hold. You can listen to the end of the show. We just had somebody just sneak in here. Oh,
thank you for the opportunity, Cindy. Oh,
so okay. Hang on here. did you go in back into the chat room? Okay, then you wouldn't have gotten it. All right, Bob. I'll do this just for the heck of it. And
I can't wait.
Pam might want to reaffirm how awesome her brother is. Okay.
My brother Bob is awesome. Now the world knows I've shouted it from a radio show. he was very helpful to me. He's too funny.
Cool. I love him.
All right.
Yeah, and thank you also, Siren Speak, for your comments and your feedback on there. I believe I know who that is, and always a champion of me and the radio show as well. So thank you very much. Okay, anything else we need to wrap up for you?
I'm good.
All right, I'll put you back on hold. I will wrap up this show then and let people know how to get a hold of me, which I didn't do from the beginning, and how they can be a guest on this show and all that other stuff. So,
all righty.
Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Cindy.
Okay, folks, that was Pam Blackburn talking about using your inside voice. She has been through a lot of stuff in life with the, you know, she didn't want to talk much about the brain tumor stuff, but that was part of it. That's one of the times of learning to start to look out at life and see the things that were going on instead of just a day-to-day mundane going through a routine. In addition to that, adopting three children as well as giving birth to two of them, two other children, and having the family of five children that are now grown up, are now adults. And developing a family relationship and everything that was needed to take care of them and to help them take care of their lives. To bring her to understand that, you know, mom and just a mom are not really terms that make a lot of sense. She thought she needed to be more than a mom, and yet discovered in the process of all of this that being a mom was exactly what she was supposed to be doing. That doesn't mean she doesn't do other things. You know, be a realtor, which we didn't touch on, and finding homes for people that are living in accessible, that need to have accessible homes. And, you know, that is just an awesome piece of it. I just realized we didn't talk about it. So if you want to come back on for some reason, Pam, to talk about it, press 1 and then come back on, and then press 1 again to come back on. Otherwise, and then the other thing now is starting this nonprofit of moving for others, whether it be running, walking, racing, bikes, whatever that she is now looking to be doing in the future, and creating that nonprofit, as well as working on her blog to help others understand their power, their strength in whatever their purpose is. Being a mom, handling folks and families with disability, handling their own disabilities, quote unquote. I know I use that term lightly. I always have. You know, all it really does is disability, or try to. It doesn't mean it takes away from anything that you are capable of doing if you really want to do it. There are ways around just about anything. You know, Pam spoke a lot about her daughter Melissa and having the brain injury that's left her blind and, you know, one side of her body not moving. All of that has been a part of her life, but it's been exactly that. She spoke of a lot was it being a part of her life and being her purpose that she knows it is. You know, every day we all wake up and we look at what do we want to do? Why do we want to do it? And I so appreciate all of the guests that I've had on this show that share how they came to know what they are supposed to be doing. And it's all a different story. It's different journeys. It's different ways to get there. If you want to be a part of this show and want to share with others your journey, how you came to know your purpose, feel free to get a hold of me. You can go through our website at PurposeTalkRadio.com, which is PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can click on Contact Me, or you can directly send me an email to Cindy at PurposeTalkRadio, C-I-N-D-Y at PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can also, of course, get to me through Facebook, Twitter, Google+, through the Facebook website, Purpose Talk, through the Purpose Talk Radio page, through Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. There's almost any number of ways. I am out there, I promise you. And you can get a hold of me, any of those. If you have a product or service you'd like to share with our listeners as they learn how to live their purpose, feel free to get a hold of me the same way. And we do have a marketing package available for you. This show does air every Friday, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the UK on Fridays. Used to be Mondays. We have now switched to Fridays due to my living my purpose and staying in school to become a sign language interpreter. But I love the show so much that I couldn't let it just drop, so we just changed the day. Other than that, I think, folks, I have pretty much covered everything that I need to as far as the show is concerned, except for one other thing. The song that we have as a theme song is called I Am Who I Am, True Trinity. That group does have its own website at True Trinity, T-R-U-E-T-R-I-N-I-T-Y. And you can go over there if you'd like to hear the song, or purchase the song in a little more of its entirety. One other thing, we are looking for people who might want to co-host one of these wonderful shows on some other day. So that's a possibility for you also. So having said all that, folks, I hope you have enjoyed hearing how you can live your purpose and being a part of this. I thank all those who have been in the chat room. I see all the giggles and the wonderful, oh, now I know Siren Speaks is who I thought it was. as I look at the icons that are up there and the little squeals. Thank you very much. I thank you all for being a part of this show. And I wish you all soul blessings as we close with I Am Who I Am, the singer being Jillian Clark, the co-writers being Jillian, Rachel Martinez, and myself. Thank you all.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.